Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ron or
here.
Ronald Ertley? Sorry. Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn is excused. Councilmember Serena Sullivan is excused. The Palominas Fire District Governing Board, Robert Montgomery?
He's here.
Tommy Stoner?
Present.
David Walker?
On his way.
Okay. Valerie Rice?
Here.
Palominas Fire District staff, Mark Matthews?
Here.
Lou Maribali?
Here.
Okay. City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Jack Ernest, Fire Chief,
there.
Britt Hansen, City Attorney.
Thank you very much.
We'll
just go to...
That was Ashley, so it's difficult to cover.
Okay.
We'll just go right to item number one.
Item number one, discussion on a possible intergovernmental agreement between the City of Bisbee and the Palominas Fire District regarding ambulance equipment and EMS personnel. And I will defer to the City Manager of Bisbee, Mr. Justin Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the Council. I really want to take the opportunity to first say thank you. Thank you not just to you all for allowing us the opportunity to bring this before you, as well as the team members from the Palominas Fire District.
Could you speak up, because I think he's having trouble.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got the mic.
And this is different from...
Can you hear him?
You know, yeah, I'm here.
No, can you hear what's going on?
Say that again?
Can you hear what's going on?
Kind of.
Okay.
So, nonetheless, tonight's conversation is really about an opportunity for two entities to come together in the spirit of collaboration, the spirit of survival, opportunity, and more importantly, progress. When the opportunity was presented and conversations between Chief Matthews, Chief Ernest, and also Captain Burnlight, we were having conversations about opportunities to realize revenues, how can we be more efficient, things of that nature. And so we started discussing the possibility of we started discussing our ambulance program. And one of the things that we realized, the fire department is one of the few general fund departments that can generate revenue. A lot of it, I might add. And so when we started this discussion and conversation to identify what opportunities do exist, and it's almost as if we were forced to do so because of our financial position where we are, but we also realized that, hey, look, is there a way in which we can really expand our scope as it relates to training, as it relates to relationship building? And I did have a PowerPoint presentation, but I realized it's hard to see, so we'll just kind of move on. What this is about... You might just have to tell Gene, we'll call him back. What this is about is it's a value proposition. And I kind of wrote something out. The City of Bisbee Fire Department and Palominas Fire District seek to diversify its revenue source and improve organizational service levels. So in my mind, this becomes a business decision. As we look at our revenue sources, just some numbers here. In FY2013, actual collected was $881,000. In FY2014, actual collected $917,000, and to date, FY2015, we've collected $757,000. We're kind of all over the map as it relates to our revenue sources, but one of the things that we recognize and appreciate is the fact that we do have the ability to transport patients between here and Sierra Vista, here in Tucson, and occasionally up to Phoenix. One of the challenges that we have, and I'll let Chief Ernest jump in and speak to this, one of the challenges that we have is not just capital, but it's also on the personnel side. And when that happens, we have to turn over those in-facility transfers to whoever has our secondary CON, which is Arizona Ambulance. But, and Chief, I'll let you kind of speak a little bit to that just for the sake of everybody here.
As far as personnel goes, we're down to three medics right now. That's all we have on staff. We have two medics that are going to graduate in September, and they will need a little bit of time to be precepted by our medics to get their feet wet and kind of get a little bit of road time. That being said, you know, we have one paramedic for each shift. Now, it makes us hard to take transfers out of town if we only have one medic available, because I feel it's unfair for the public and anybody else that is in the area that we send our only paramedic to Tucson. Now, what we've attempted to do, and Mark knows as well, because he's the one that works a lot of those hours, between the two medics that are not working, we try to put one of them on call to be able to cover. So if, when the transfer goes out of town to Tucson, we have a medic in town. So that's one way that we try to take care of it. Now, it's a lot of hard work on, as far as these guys go. I mean, they're just getting wore out doing it. So we make an attempt, an honest attempt, to try to provide the highest level of care in Bisbee. By doing that, we miss out on the transfers. And so by this IGA and coming together with Palomino's, we're hoping to be able to capture more of those transfers by using some of their personnel and some of the equipment. Now, do you want me to go into the equipment as well right
yes,
now?
Yes, sir, please.
Bisbee has four ambulances. We currently have three that are available because one is in Sierra Vista. But our newest ambulance is a 1981 GMC, which we got about 5 years ago, and it's got 77,000 miles on it. Our next ambulance is a 2005, which is Medicaid. It's got 315,966 miles. Medicaid 11, which is the unit that goes to Tucson typically, has got 302,903 miles. And Medicaid 21, which is a 1999 Ford, which has been really our best unit because it just keeps going and going, it's got 271,000 miles on it. So as you can see, we've driven our ambulances into the ground doing these transfers, which is okay because we get revenues from it. In turn, that's why we're attempting to purchase another one to help with the situation. So we're kind of boxed in on this thing with personnel, not having enough medics, and then with our equipment that's very well used. So we're hoping by having this IGA with Palomino's, we can possibly, you know, ease up on the vehicles, work with them on doing the transfers and capture and bring in more revenues. That we, as you can see, there's a decline. Of course, that's not the end of the year yet. Mm-hmm. We're gonna notice a decline of some of the transfers. As an example, from April 1st to the current, we've given up 70 transfers to our other ambulance transport company here in business. So we've given away 70 transports, which is a substantial amount of money. And so that's what we're trying to capture and not let go. So, I think it's essential that we do that, and hopefully this will come together and it will work out. So sure. That's what we're trying to do.
Thank you, Chief. One of the other pieces of this, and Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. One of the other pieces to all this is a certain reality, as the Chief alluded to, and he's been incredibly sensitive to the reality that the guys are really, and he's done a good job in trying to maintain and hold the line on the morale issue, but it's a challenge because of the fact of how the transfer program actually works. And so, Captain, can you talk a little bit about the times that we're having to go about with the transfers, the early morning transfers, the late night transfers, kind of what's the impact on the guys physically, the turnaround time, things of that nature?
Well, sure, a Tucson transfer traditionally takes about 5 hours of drive time. From the time you get the alarm, get the crew who's going to go on the transfer to the hospital, do the patient assessment, make the appropriate calls to the new receiving facility. We'll use TMC for an example. We get a hold of TMC, and we get a medical direction to take that patient on the road. We then start the transport. We do continuous treatment throughout that transport. It's 100 miles, which takes about an hour and 45 minutes. Then we, on the other end, we will transfer that patient to the nursing care of the room or the area they're going to, the ER or whatever floor they may be going to. Give a report, and then we're ready to come back home. And we come right back home. If it's during a mealtime, the guys might stop for a quick bite, but we can get up and back without having to refuel till we get back. And typically, like I say, it's about a five-hour round trip. And those are the things that the public doesn't see. Those are we can leave at, if we get one at 8 in the morning and we're back roughly about 1, 2 o'clock, and then one could kick out around 3, you get back around 8 o'clock, and then one might kick out at midnight, 2 in the morning. And if they kick out like that, Bisbee Fire does them. If they overlap, then we're unable to do back-to-back transfers. And that's what this program is going to provide for everybody, is a chance. I've told Mr. Johnson before, if you give me paramedics and give me ambulances, we'll make you money. And that's what this program has a possibility of doing.
Certainly. Thank you. And we'll kind of turn it over to Chief Matthews and talk a little bit about the numbers and the transfers. One of the key pieces of all this is, oftentimes, you know, we talk about the fact that we do make money, and you have a certain segment of our population that'll argue, oh, we're not making money. Yes, we are making money. Maybe the lexicon in the conversation has to shift, as opposed to just saying we're making money. Okay, we may not be making a profit as it relates to our revenue sources, and we're subsidizing that difference. But this department truly does, in many respects, can hold its own. And so we have an opportunity here to realize and really capture, and if we want to let it fall under the umbrella of our financial sustainability plan, this is a way in which we can do that. And so, Chief, can you go into a little bit, and you all have this spreadsheet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just kind of go through and just talk about some of the highlights and just hit them for
ingest. This is a 14-month research that I was able to go back and find out how many calls between you lost up to Arizona Ambulance over the times. And there's the other, just to let you know, the other category is, because I couldn't get a lot of great numbers out of that. But first and foremost, the hospital's changed its name from Sierra Vista to Canyon Vista. That's why you'll see the Canyon Vista / Sierra Vista and then the Tucson. So the number of missed calls in that 14-month period across the board was 401. And that were either turned over because they were already on emergency calls or tied up. And I'm a little, now it's not exact science because trying to figure out how much every ambulance call costs with the round figure, but it's off about 5% either direction. So when you look at some of these totals. So the billing average for the Sierra Vista ambulance transfer is around $1,300. Tucson is around $2,350. It's actually a little bit higher than that. It's almost $2,600. And then the others just were so generic I couldn't figure it out. So we just went with a base average of $900. So then it talks about the collection averages as you go down and the total revenues available. So just to shorten it up here, if you go to total revenues and available, there's $744,300 of revenues that were available that were not touched. That's a significant amount of money. And then you get down to what's called anticipated collections, and that's basically what you're going to collect when it's a Medicaid or it's a insurance can only provide, or you basically can't get any more money from the folks that can't afford to have that paid. And then you get down to 22% less available funds. That's also the Arizona Health Plan and other programs, Obamacare, and what they're going to pay on ambulances. And then the 9% cost that goes to the collection of the organization that collects the fees. So it gets down to cost per transfer is about 12% of the revenue collected. So it shows you, and that's just on fuel equipment and if you have to have personnel come back and cover, and the average around cost is $221 per call. And that does not talk about the wear and tear on the apparatus and the equipment, but that's just basically, in a nutshell, what it costs to run those calls. Obviously, you can see the Tucson one is much more expensive because of the fuel and everything that's used in that. So you have your yearly cost of $76,000. The potential revenue total net, money in your pocket for Bisbee would be $228,390. Thank you. All these numbers look the same. But on the offset with that, if you go, so the whole gross revenue that's being lost is $570,000, $500,000. And then the gross revenue to offset your budget is $285,000. And when I talk about gross revenue offset, that's basically your fuel costs and also trying to put back a little bit into your capital programs and things like that. So you're offsetting your budget a little bit with those revenues that if you use those revenues in like a fund sharing program, if you have a revenue sharing plan or an enterprise fund, not quite sure how it works for the city. But if you have that, then you can move some of those funds to offset those fees.
Thank you, Chief. As a part of the agenda packet, you all have a draft agreement that was prepared by Donna Aversa and was reviewed and vetted by our city attorney, Brett Hansen. And so really where we are is more so about direction, information for you all as a body. Again, you know, the Palomino's board is here as a show of support. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask, please feel free to do so at this time.
Well, it appears to me we've had a significant revenue loss because of lack of vehicles and B, lack of paramedics. So it seems to me we need to work in those two areas and, of course, in perhaps combination with Palomino's. So what is the projection? Let me ask both chiefs, how many paramedics do you need to feel comfortable with? Seven? Eight?
Well, it could be a comfort level, but the more paramedics you have, the better, because typically about 99% of your calls are ALS. So having a medic, you know, the right way to do this is to have a medic on each shift with about six other medics on the crew, so that way you have enough medics. That's just what you do. You run ALS, and certainly that covers for sick people, vehicles out of town, whatever it might be, you have enough medics to do that.
So, okay. Yeah. And Chief Matthews, how many medics do you have?
We currently have three on staff, and we're doing a background at a fourth, but we're also hiring three positions, and there are paramedics that have applied for that. It is our goal to get a minimum of two. I hate to get that fed back to all the people that applied for the position right now, because we actually have 24 applicants for our three positions. But the goal would be to get the minimum of two in there to fill that. And I don't mind sharing this. We have another young man that's actually chosen the other side of public service. He's going to be probably most likely leaving us and going to be a police officer. So I'm not sure that's the good move on his part, but he's a great young man. But that spot will be filled with a paramedic, and it's a kind of even an upper level. So our goal in the next, by the July 1, is to have six to seven paramedics.
Okay, and what is your vehicle situation, ambulance situation?
As of today, we have two ambulances. They're four-wheel drive. They're both. One has 23,000 miles on it. The other one has 43,000, and they're in excellent shape. And they're utilized. They will be utilized as a rescue at this point. But barring the decisions that are made here, Mark has already been in talks with the state to get them certified and for BSBE to utilize them.
Did you guys just recently acquire another one?
No, we actually purchased two of them with the hopes and anticipation that we could help out in this situation.
Somebody mentioned to me, I don't know who it was, that it was a pretty good economic deal to buy the vehicles.
I try to do my best at making great economic deals for our district, because just like everyone else, we don't have a ton of money.
Yeah.
And fortunately for my assistant chief and I, we have some pretty good connections. And these both came from the federal government. They didn't run very many calls at all. At all where they were. So, and the nice thing is they had excellent maintenance records along with them.
Could you give me how much it cost?
Total $44,000 for two ambulances.
That seems like a bargain. That's a bargain, isn't it? Yeah.
If I could have kept the one car dealer not bidding up so much, I could have got them for a little better price.
Chief Ernest, can we order maybe five?
We're checking it out.
Okay.
It's a pretty good deal.
Can I inject just one thing? You know, with purchasing equipment, and it's a lot of being in the right place at the right time, people giving you feedback in our business where it might be. And we were just at a situation where it had to move kind of quickly, and the board was gracious enough to give me that direction that even though that maybe this didn't go through, we also have another backup plan to use one as a rescue and the other one we would probably have to sell. We're hoping that doesn't happen, and that's why, because that's quite a little commitment for our board to spend that amount of money. Now, and I don't know if Chief Ernst is going to hit on this, but sorry, I'm not hoping either. It's when you buy an ambulance, you pay $44,000 for two ambulances, then you have to put stuff in it. And he'll you know, the cots are between $10,000 to $20,000, the gurneys and stuff, the cardiac monitors and all that. We have all of that. It's already in there. So even though you say, hey, great deal, you got about $100,000 vested in that operation. So
one of the things, Mayor, if I might add,
City Manager Justin Johnson.
I'm sorry, excuse me. One of the things that when we first started the conversation, the chief had directed the captain to kind of do some research and homework, because we know we were in the queue to look at acquiring another ambulance, you know, for us. And after, you know, the decision was made to kind of hold things off, and so we actually were pretty close to commandeering another piece of equipment, but we were maybe but a couple of days late, so we weren't able to grab that one. So the, you know, Chief Ernest, he's, quite frankly, he's really shifted things around and has the guys looking more feverishly and expending a lot more effort in trying to identify, hey, what are the best values that we can identify so that we can look at ways in which we can replace our entire fleet more quickly. And so that's a testament to, you know, the chief's leadership and forward thinking.
Well, it's pretty pretty shocking to me to see the mileage on these vehicles. Obviously, the need is there for new, different vehicles, even used. It's important. I'm asking a lot of questions. Any council members have a question? I was also curious about the 50-50 sharing agreement. In other words, a medic from an EMS guy from Bisbee and one from Palominos. That's a 50-50 share of the net. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes.
And that seems pretty reasonable.
Yes, sir. And we also agreed, hey, look, you know, when it's time to fuel up, we have a fuel station, and they use it. You guys go to the gas station to get fuel.
Yeah, we also have fuel cars for fuel. We're a little bit more isolated than you are, so we have to have fuel cars. So if we're out in the city of service, so we can fuel it there. But we also use Canyon General to use that. And to be honest with you, their rates have been a lot better than. Yeah, because they actually fluctuate with their moving, and if you're supplying your own fuel, and let's say you bought it at $4 a gallon, you're stuck with that 10,000 gallons until you use it. Where we've been really fortunate to save money this year because of the fluctuation and the drop in the fuel, but it also can come back to bite you sometimes too. So
another question that I have would be, what does it take? How many ambulances and/or paramedics of both departments that we could combine, we could cover, let's say, 95% of the calls or more? What would it take? 4 ambulances each department, 5 ambulances, 7 paramedics in each department? Probably different, but I'm curious how both these departments could cover 95% of the calls. Just, I know we're speculating to a certain degree,
well,
but I'm curious.
You know, we have 4 ambulances, okay, typically. Now we have 3 because one's in the shop to service them. You could have 4 or 5 ambulances, but if you have two out of town and one broke down, you only have two. You know what I mean? Yeah. It depends. I mean, we'd like to have a fleet of several ambulances, and certainly someday we hope to do that. I mean, you know, until we can we'll utilize the Palominos equipment and stuff, and we'll maybe get to that point that we can purchase a couple of them. But, you know, as far as staffing and personnel, if we had 10 paramedics, that'd be great, because then you're okay. You're okay, but it's, again, building up to that point. I think we were up to 7, 9?
9.
We had 9 medics at one time.
Well, it appears to me, and just common logic, 3 paramedics, those guys must be stressed out.
They're tired. Yeah. They're tired. But you know what? They're tired, but they continue to go.
I know.
They continue to work hard, and I'm very proud of them, because they do not back down. They just keep working.
And for public consumption, I do need to say that our ambulance service and the fire department, for that matter, has about and correct me if I'm mistaken, a 3 to 5 minute response time to about any house in the community. And I think that is absolutely essential. And that's part of the reason why I would say it seems to me that we need to have 95% of those calls done by these two departments. I think it's absolutely essential, because there's a human aspect of it, and there's also a business aspect of the two sides. And they both have to be dealt with. So I'd like to see us get to the point between these two departments that we can cover 95% of the emergency calls. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. And that's, you know, really, you know, your statement is really a segue into one of the other opportunities that we have. You know, during our strategic planning session, we talked about developing relationships with other jurisdictions to try to realize efficiencies. And you all have a map which designates our CON, and if I'm not mistaken, we're covering about 400 square miles. And so one of the things that you will realize, you know, while our response time is, you know, 3 to 5 minutes within the city limits, we also look at how far our CON actually extends, which is down to the river. Now, one of the key pieces and key components of all this as it relates to providing a higher level of service is the opportunity or possibility of the station location in Palominas, which is, as you can see on the map down below, where it says Palominas, right along the river where the blue line ends. That station is right adjacent to darn near the river, and so right at the edge of that CON. And so, yeah, as you know, Chief Ernest and I, we were talking about it. He's like, hey, look, Justin, you got a station right here, and our CON is right here, and we do get calls that far out. And so if we do have that opportunity to, hey, look, we can dispatch that unit from there and hit that part of our CON, that's an opportunity. That's enhancing that level of service. That level of service is reducing that response time. And so that's a very – it's not just a financial decision, and we're talking about business opportunities or business decisions that have to be made. It's also providing that level of service. And I know there are folks that will say, well, why would Palominas do this? Why would Bisbee do this? Any successful and forward-thinking organization is really going to look at ways in which it can diversify its revenue sources and enhance whether you're Walmart, Target, or Safeway. You look at the diversity in which your portfolio offers. Now you're starting to build and develop something more forward-thinking and progressive that can be much more sustainable. We are where we are today financially. We are where we are as it relates from a personnel standpoint, from a capital standpoint. Here is a way in which we can somewhat bridge the gap, if you will. And so I certainly wanted to just take an opportunity and point that out to you all of the location of the station itself.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this is pertinent, just a curiosity that I might have. How are the CON districts or areas determined? Who does that? The state legislature?
It's done by the Department of Health Services. Typically, the CONs are designed so that they can cover most areas. In other words, for example, our CON goes up to the river, fire departments. Fry Fire Department comes to the river, so yeah. There's no uncovered area. We go to Highway 80 to Paul Line Plant. Douglas Fire Department comes to Paul Line Plant. So they're designed that way, and that's how the state does that to better cover areas so that there's not any gray areas. There may be some smaller areas that may not be covered, but typically one jurisdiction will step up and cover if they're close enough.
I understand.
That's how they're designed, but they're established by the state.
Okay. I guess my hope is that, as I said just a moment ago, that between these two departments we can cover 95% of the call in this CON area. I think that's extremely important. I would be curious, the Palominas District on occasion would come into Bisbee when we can't supply that or meet that particular need, so the response time would be a little bit more. I would speculate maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If you don't mind me addressing that, I've done some non-scientific, just driving the road. And in any given traffic day, I don't turn my lights on to find out how much faster it would be here to get here. But from Station 191, and just so you know, that this information was brought to our board. We were actually going to locate, we have three stations, and we were moving a career staff to actually Station 192. But Station 191X is actually closer to Bisbee. So with all of this, the board committed to, instead of taking the lit, because we're building living quarters, it's actually a manufactured home we've purchased, and we're going to relocate it to Station 191, so it'll be staffed closer to Bisbee. I'm sorry, I'm throwing numbers at you, off of Palominas Road, the one that Justin was talking about. The other one was in Miracle Valley, would have been a little bit more delayed, doesn't actually cover quite the buildings of the old station, and I think those folks that have been around for a while, that station's been there for a long time. The building's probably not the best in the world, but the living quarters aren't going to change, so we'll be able to adjust that. So we're making some changes for that. From that station to the city limits of Bisbee is 8 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, and give or take, if you get behind Mr. Walker, it could be 10 minutes.
And I was behind a Bisbee ambulance just now. So. Were they speeding?
No, they were not. And then the Nauvoo Highway is between 9.5 and then And the reason I did that was along with the auto aid. So basically, going to the intersection, the roundabout, okay, that's where you're looking at 12 to 13 minutes. Now, and that's given the best, you know, case scenario of not a lot of traffic on there. Does it speed up a little bit by turning the lights and sirens on? As a fire chief, we're going to say no. In reality, does it a little bit? Yes. Because all we're asking when we turn the lights and siren on is just safely get out of the way. It's not. We don't want our guys to do this, if you know what I mean. Speed is not the issue. Being efficient is the issue. I'd rather everybody get there safe and sound to be able to perform, even if it's 30 seconds slower because they couldn't go 90 miles an hour versus 70, which would be the appropriate speed on a 65-mile-an-hour area. So that gives you that idea. And can I back up on the ambulance? You were asking how many ambulances to do 95%. On a Sunday with two calls, we're going to get 100%. On a day where there's 15 calls, it's going to be challenging. And that's what you have to look for. It's not a science to doing this. So the commitment I asked from the board was, sure, we can go buy an ambulance. But what happens if that ambulance is busy or it needs to be serviced or all that? So we bought a second one to make sure that we constantly have one ambulance to help offset those issues. And so when you look at your fleet, don't say, oh, wow, we have all these ambulances. Look what we have available to go to the calls.
So it's a two-area, paramedics and also vehicles. But it's obvious to these the sheet that I have here that there was a significant loss of revenue over the last few years or so. And, of course, not to mention the most important thing is the response time, saving lives or getting people to a hospital that need to get there. Councilmember Dowdy?
Saturday I went to Sierra Vista, Highway M92, and there were two accidents on 92. One was minor, or it looked like it was minor, and the other one was kind of nasty. And there were people all around. How did you all handle that with so few paramedics?
Well, realize that on that, from our side, we had six of our personnel there. So that's, you know, normally between ours, our minimum is four usually with the duty chief. When our duty chief is sort of like what Mark is a captain, but he has a little bit more flexibility because he has his own vehicle and he gets to go home. He doesn't get to go home. and we live within, I live in district and Lou's just outside the district. So that's kind of how it goes. And we have our weeks on and our weeks off. But that incident there was just in a really weird situation. The first ambulance was an Arizona ambulance on their way back to Douglas, and the driver of the car was in it was his mother. So you know you pull up to that, you get a little because they're like running off doing their own little thing with mom, and but it ended up we had three ambulances there, two out of the Fries because that's their ambulance service district. And because Arizona was there, and I will tell you how this had to happen, they wanted to leave right away with her. They couldn't because that's actually Fry's CON, so I had to get the battalion chief's approval before allowing him to leave, which they did because they were already out of ambulances too. And, those are the other things to think about in the future, that when those situations happen and they need another ambulance, the one from Bisbee would be right there. We already have an auto aid agreement with Fry and Sierra Vista, but we don't currently provide a backup ambulance to that. Mm-hmm. Then when we would probably have conversations with Fry, because that's their CON, not Sierra Vista's, but Fry, about potentially. But that's not the driving factor anywhere near to do that. It's just that's something to think about. And then, like these gentlemen will tell you, when it gets bad, then we use helicopters also.
The one was kind of funny. The first one I came upon, it was two young girls. And the one girl was standing there just stomping her feet and hitting the other girl. And I had to chuckle as I drove down the road. She was, the one girl was so mad. I don't know what happened, and I wasn't going to stop to find out. But it didn't look like they were hurt.
Councilmember Hansen?
I have a couple of questions. First of all, can you tell either one of you tell me what is the, well, I guess the, I'm asking Chief Ernest, what is an average of the number of calls for transfers that we get a day? I mean, I know it varies, but what would be a high day?
It's a toss-up. You know, we can do a couple in 24-hour period.
No, I mean, how many calls would you get for in one day?
As far as running?
Yes.
our average call load for everything?
No, for transfers.
It varies. It can be 2 in a 24-hour period. It can be 7 in a 24-hour period.
Okay.
It depends what the Copper Queen, sends out.
I mean, it
varies. Sometimes you don't do any. But that rarely happens.
But a high would be about 7.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had 5 to 6 to 7
okay.
phone-outs for transfers in a 24-hour period. Yeah.
And for you, Chief Matthews?
Yes.
Do you have a CON?
No.
Okay.
So that's why we would be just working in an IGA with you folks. Yeah.
Any other comments from the council? I have Councilmember Klein.
Just in answer to Joan, the dispatcher on duty wasn't able to get the report that I asked for, but I just kind of threw out a number for last Wednesday, I think. It was like the 27th, and these guys were back-to-back-to-back-to-back on calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, same thing Saturday with the fire and things like that. So, I mean, it varies, you know.
Well, I know it varies, but I was just trying to see what a high day would look like and what an average day would look like.
There is no average.
I would go online and say I'm pretty sure they're hoping for the slow days.
Well, sure.
We could schedule the transfers.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? You schedule your sickness, please.
That's right.
I have one final comment, and council certainly can have comments as well. I hold both of you departments in extremely high esteem, and the jobs that you do, saving lives and protecting properties, is extremely important. I couldn't do what you do, and probably most people couldn't, and you see all kinds of difficult situations essentially every day. My hat is off to both departments that go through this and protect our community and help people that need help with ambulance service. And I'm talking to the public. These are the people that look after you. Thank you both, both departments. Any other comments from anyone?
I did have a question or a comment or maybe both.
Sure. Mr. Montgomery.
Thank you. Chief Ernst earlier mentioned the loss of 70 transfers. Was that in this fiscal year?
Yes, this was just this fiscal. Just since April to the current. Well, we had how many? Yesterday or
three?
We had three yesterday. We couldn't do.
So you've got about another 4 weeks on the year.
Oh, yeah.
We've lost 6 this month, and it's only the 4th of the month.
Okay. Well, I guess I would like to mention that since Lou Mirabelli and Chief Matthews have come to Palominas, and a little before that, we were very proud as a board of the effort we've all put in out there to change the world, because it wasn't a happy place 5 years ago, but it is now, and it is a completely different thing. And from my point of view, or my case, I have direct contact with state legislatures all the time, our senator and both of our congressmen and others. And there was a point when the state people in Phoenix wouldn't talk to us in Palominas. They referred to us as cannibals down there. But that has been reversed completely, and we have now received accolades in the State House from everybody about how the situation has been repaired and is at a level of expertise it's never seen before. We're very lucky to have these guys come over and help us out. They have resumes from here to forever. And that's also why we've learned that they are experts at finding great deals for us, as you can see by the ambulances. But that's not the only stuff they've done for us. We've got a ton of goodies through their good work, you know. The residence that we found to hook up at this station is virtually new, and we got it for a steal. And anybody that's staying there will not feel like they're out in the wilderness. It'll be an up-and-running station. And we invite anybody to come out and take a look in July when it's hooked up. So we're very happy with the way things have progressed, and we'd be delighted to do business with Bisbee on this or anything else, perhaps. But you can see by your map, strategic, you know. It's a good place to have an ambulance. Palominas Road and Highway 92, right up the top.
Well, just
I have a comment, David Walker. About 6 years ago, I had a case of food poisoning, and I lived east of the river, and Bisbee was there within, I think, 15 minutes, and that means going a mile off the highway to get to my house, and so I was extremely impressed, because I had no idea who was covering up there at that time, because I wasn't on the board and wasn't an industry. And so it kind of surprised me to see Bisbee show up and do what they did. And so it's it does my heart good to see us cooperating, because my family goes back to the late 1800s in this area, so it impresses me that Bisbee and Palominas can hold their own when it comes to public safety, I think.
Any other comments? Councilmember Hansen.
I have a couple of comments. First of all, I want to thank all of you for coming up with this agreement. I think it's a mutually beneficial agreement. I can't see where either party is going to be harmed by it. It can only build up the number of ambulances and the number of personnel that we have available. And as Mr. Walker just said, on those fringes areas, what a wonderful thing to have a fire department that is so much closer and can handle those calls in faster than we can on Bisbee, although Bisbee does a wonderful job of doing that. But just by virtue of the distance, it's going to take a little longer. So I really appreciate you guys coming up with this. It's exciting to see this.
It is.
It is very exciting to see the cooperation. And I'm excited to see where all it goes. And I wanted to apologize for totally forgetting about the meeting and being late. So we would have been done 10 minutes earlier.
Any other comments? No? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.